This morning, we finished up our series on the best gifts of Christmas, and this morning we're looking at unwrapping the gift of joy. And this morning we're in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and following, the familiar story of the Magi come to visit Jesus. So, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and following. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we, as I said, continue this series on the best gifts of Christmas. And this morning we're looking at unwrapping the gift of joy. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this pastor the day after Christmas in a church in San Francisco, and he was looking out from his office over the lawn, and he noticed that the baby Jesus was missing from the nativity scene. So he went outside to investigate, and as he went outside, he saw little Jimmy with his red wagon, and in the red wagon was the figure of a little baby Jesus. And so he went up to the little boy and said, "Where did you get your little passenger, my friend?" And the boy said, "Well, I got him at church." And the pastor said, "No, why did you take him?" And the boy replied, "Well, about a week before Christmas, I prayed and I told the little Lord Jesus that if I received a little red wagon for Christmas, I would take him for a ride around the block in it." Well, you know, we think about it, we're all on a search for something, and we love gifts, and most of us are on a search for happiness at some point in our life. And this morning we look at this story of the Magi, a familiar story, but I think there's some truths about it, about unwrapping the gift of joy and finding joy in our hearts and lives. And of course, as I said yesterday, is Epiphany, and Epiphany is really about the Magi coming to Christ. Now, I don't know where you are on Epiphany, but most of us, how many here like gifts? How like either receiving gifts or buying gifts? I know most of the youth do, the kids do. And that tradition comes from the Magi. So we owe that to the Magi, a great tradition. And if you think about your life, there are probably points when you've been searching. Now, most of us search for gifts before Christmas. Anyone searching for good gifts before Christmas? And maybe you're searching after Christmas for a great sale. Savannah and I went to Chicago this week to do a little shopping and to meet some friends for dinner that we haven't seen for a long time. And so we did the shopping, and then I've been having trouble with my Apple iPhone, like a lot of people, with a battery. And we don't have any Apple stores in Lafayette, so I said, well, there's probably one in Chicago. And so I looked on my phone with a little battery that was left and found out there was indeed one at the end, supposedly, of Michigan Avenue. And so we set off on this journey. And it was cold. I don't know if you remember how cold it was this week, but it was freezing. And so I didn't really know where that store was. And Savannah just kept saying, my eyelids are freezing to my face. And so we stopped a couple times along the way. We didn't find King Herod or anything. But we were journeying towards this store. And we got towards the end, and we still didn't see this store. But we noticed that there was this looked like a clear bus stop. Right, and so we wanted to get warm, so we walked in there and found out there was this glass, and then it was like glass all the way down the stairs, and then there was like people in there like with an iPad, and realized that that was the Apple store. There was no logo. It was like an invisible store, right? And but it was warm inside, and then so we got there to one of the people, and we told them that we asked him if this was the Apple store, and she said, "Yeah, do you have an appointment?" I said, "No, I don't have an appointment. I just came to check on my battery and see if I get a new battery." She said, "Well, you need to get it checked." And I said, "Well, how long for an appointment?" And she said, "Well, it's about an hour, right?" So we said, "Forget it." And so we trudged the rest of the way back up there, Michigan Avenue, freezing all the way. And I had to hear how bad of a journey that was. But you may have had some journeys that were successful in life and some journeys that weren't so successful. And there may be other kinds of journeys that you've taken. I mean, there's probably a point in your life where you were searching for a job, maybe, or you were searching for a boyfriend or girlfriend or the right spouse, or maybe you're searching for happiness and meaning in life. Many of us are at some point, and that may have been a past stage or maybe a present stage, but if you can, you can relate to the Magi, maybe at least on that level, that there's a part of us that's searching for happiness and joy and meaning in life, hopefully the deepest kind of meaning. Now, so the Magi were on this search, and I want to just give sort of a little footnote here, because people often ask me, you know, how do you reconcile the nativity account in Matthew and the one in Luke? And so Luke has the shepherds, but no Magi, and Matthew has the Magi, but not shepherds, and also flight to Egypt. And the answer to that, I think, is that Luke was writing to primarily a Gentile audience, probably a prominent Roman official. And so for Luke, the shepherds and the account for that was very important. Probably would have found the whole thing with Herod a bit offensive. And so he doesn't have that, and he's writing thematically. He really highlights poor folks and women, and he highlights the theme of prayer. Matthew, on the other hand, was writing to a Jewish audience, and Matthew opens with this story about the Magi and the promise, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, to people far and wide of different races and different places. And of course, there's a parallel between Jesus and Moses in terms of the flight to Egypt, and they would have been aware of that, and they would have been aware of the prophecies being fulfilled. And so it's most likely that Joseph and Mary, and obviously the baby Jesus, stayed in Bethlehem, which was near Jerusalem, about 5 miles away, for Jesus to be circumcised on the eighth day to fulfill the commandment and the law, and then also to be dedicated in the temple on the 40th day. And then probably the Magi came sometime between the 40th day and then up to the time that maybe Jesus was a year old. We don't know for certain, but that kind of helps reconcile those things. And the thematic writing of history, of course, is something we do all the time, but it was known as telescoping in that day. So you can read more information, but people often ask me about that. And if you want more information, come to the Wednesday night Bible study. We'll be looking at the Magi then. But the Magi were wise men. You probably know them as wise men or magi. And they saw a sign in the sky, and it was an incredible sign. Now, we don't know exactly what there was in the sky, but we know a couple things from science, which tells us there were two events that this could possibly have been. First of all, Chinese astronomers recorded that in March of 5 BC, there was a comet visible in the eastern sky just before dawn, and it was there for about 90 days. And so it literally would have risen in the east from the land of Persia, or what is today Iran, and some of those areas around there, and so that might have been the guiding star. Also, around 5 BC, there was an incredible event, which was that the Jupiter, the royal planet, had a conjunction with the royal star, which is Regulus, and that was an event that happens very rarely, and there was other special events around that, and so that could have been the other day. What we know is they looked in the heavens. Now, they didn't have all the city lights that we have, and so they could look at the stars at night, and remember, they didn't have GPS, and so when they traveled, everybody looked at the stars at night, and in fact, a lot of people slept on their roofs, and so they were very aware of the stars and legend behind that, and so these folks from far-off places, from different lands, from different races, came seeking the Christ child, and it reminds us that folks still today are seeking Christ from different races and places, and we need to have grace, and we need to have patience while folks search just even as we do. So they knew that something incredible was happening, and it's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes people from afar are more in tune spiritually than those of us who are in church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we take it for granted, the message of Christ in church, and people who are really searching and really are aware of their search are more attuned to that. And so we need to sort of appreciate the search and what it means. And it reminds me, too, that God is still alive and well in creation and can be visible from afar. I was listening to a podcast by the astrophysicist Hugh Ross. I don't know if you are familiar with his work, the work of Dr. Hugh Ross, who was an avowed atheist. And he found God by looking through a telescope one night. Now, that was a really, really, really good telescope. But all of a sudden, he was sort of searching for meaning, and he realized as he looked at his telescope across the universe, across galaxies, that the same laws of physics that apply here on Earth apply to stars millions and millions and millions of miles away. And he realized that he just said it just couldn't be chance that all that could be put together, and his more kind of reasons behind that, but it sort of gave him a religious experience that put him on a trail to become a believer in God and then become a believer in Christ. And so the heavens still point to God. And Paul in Romans says that the heavens declare the glory of God and that God's eternal power and his divine nature are available to us in the heavens. And I saw this tweet by Lee Strobel, who is a former atheist, who's a legal journalist for the Chicago Tribune. And he tweeted this Christmas Eve. He went on this journey and looking for God. And as he looked in different places and interviewed different scientists, he came to believe in God and then also believe in Christ. And this is what he tweeted Christmas Eve. I like this. He said, to continue in atheism, I would need to believe that nothing produces everything. Non-life produces life. Randomness produces fine-tuning. Chaos produces information. Unconsciousness produces consciousness. And non-reason produces reason. I simply don't have that much faith. Isn't that interesting? So today, I mean, a lot of people are on a search, and we need to give them grace on their search and be able to be available to them. So the Magi go to Jerusalem, and they are figuring that the ruler of the area would know something about where the Messiah was to be, the new ruler of the Jews. And so they come to Herod, and they ask Herod, where is the Messiah who is born? We've seen his star in the sky. And Herod is disturbed. And it said that also everyone in Jerusalem. Now, Herod was an incredibly egocentric, insecure person who often killed people who threatened him. So that's why all Jerusalem was disturbed when Herod was disturbed. And so they ask him about that. And Herod asked sort of his court and his biblical scholars. And they answer almost right away, why, in Bethlehem. And they quote Micah 5:2 in that prophecy. And so Herod sends the Magi off to Bethlehem and then tells them, when you find him, come and tell me so I can worship him too. Now, that's not what he had in mind, as we see later. He wanted to kill anyone who threatened his throne, but the Magi see through that, and they go and they worship Christ. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? So they search, and they find the Christ. And so the first thing is that they're on a search for the promise of joy. And next thing is they experience the joy of worshiping Christ. And you know, sometimes today, we take for granted the privilege that we have of worship. Now, many people throughout the world don't take that for granted, but we sometimes do, and so we forget how much it really means. And so they've traveled hundreds of miles. Sometimes, people say sometimes anywhere from 400 to 1,000 miles. Take your pick, but they came a long journey, and they came and worshiped Christ, and they found the Christ child, and they worshiped him. Isn't that amazing? They fulfilled the promise. Now, Matthew, as I said, is written to Jews, and Matthew begins with five promises that are fulfilled in Christ, so that Matthew wants us to realize this isn't to be taken for granted. And so those five promises real quickly are that Jesus is from the line of David, a prophecy that was fulfilled. A virgin will conceive, another prophecy, that the place of his birth would be Bethlehem. That was found in Micah. And then the exile to Egypt, that they would flee to Egypt. And then later, the slaughter, Herod killing all the boys in the region of Bethlehem, 2 years and under, five promises. And so Matthew wants these folks who've been looking for the Messiah right away and sort of in rapid succession to say that Jesus fulfills many of these prophecies from the Old Testament. Now, the Magi weren't aware of all those promises, but they were aware of their search for happiness and meaning in life. And you know, a lot of us come in different avenues to faith in Christ, and we need to appreciate that. God leads us and guides us. For the Magi, it was by a star. For many of the Jews, it was by the fulfillment of prophecy. The shepherds, it was an angel that spoke to them, but they all came and they worshiped Christ. And when they did, they found that their life was changed in an incredible way. Now, these Magi had brought something that was precious to them. We're told that they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that tells us something about them. First of all, gold, that they were wealthy, right? And I don't have any gold with me this morning. I don't know if you do, but gold obviously tells us they're wealthy. They also brought frankincense and myrrh. Now, I have a little bit of frankincense and myrrh. This isn't the good stuff. This is the cheap stuff, and we could look at this morning, and frankincense is white, and myrrh is red, and both of them, the best stuff at least, is still used today, and you can use it to burn a real fine incense. It makes a lovely smell, or it can be melted down and is put into the best perfumes today in many cases. And so this is very valuable. It was found in different parts of in Eastern Africa, in Persia, which is modern-day Iran. It's found in Somalia and also in India, different places. And so we look at people in different parts of the world who came to worship Christ, and traditionally you have different races in different places, which I love. They came and they brought their best. They knelt down and worshiped Christ. And so you have the shepherds kind of on one side of the spectrum and the Magi on the other side of the spectrum. And for Mary, we don't know if they were still in the stable, but if they were, to have something that was sweet smelling in a stable, I'm sure you would agree, would be very nice. And then also sort of lotions and perfumes and what have you. I think the most important thing is they brought what was precious to them. But the greatest gift they had in that day was not the gifts they gave, but the gift they received, which is the gift of Christ. And so they worshiped Christ. They found that their lives were transformed, and they experienced incredible joy in their life. And today, sometimes it's the people that are furthest from Christ, I think, who experience the greatest joy when they finally come to Christ. And we sometimes, who are in the church, we take it for granted, especially if we've grown up in the church. It's like, you know, oh, it's sure Sunday morning. But the truth is that worshiping Christ should be a joy. A joy is part of our life. And every day we should share that joy with others and not let the good news become the old news. You know what I'm saying? Gospel means good news. The good news that Christ loves us and has come to save us and forgive us from our sins. And so they searched for the promise of joy. And then they discovered the promise of joy in Christ. And finally, they shared the gift of joy. And so just as the shepherds came and they worshiped Christ and returned and told everyone about him, the Magi, in the same way, worshiped Christ and then returned with great joy and shared the good news. Now, for them, it wasn't in nearby Bethlehem. From them, it was distant places, but maybe they were planting the seed for the Apostle Paul later on. The truth is, the Magi are the first missionaries. Now, most of us think of the Apostle Paul as the first missionary, right? But the Magi were the first missionaries. They went in different races and places, and they shared the good news in a way that made a difference to people's lives. And I wonder to us today whether we're sort of the spectrum of the shepherds who were probably, they were Jewish, they were uneducated, they're sort of the cowboys of that time. They're kind of rough and maybe rowdy, and their life was changed, and they shared the good news. And then the Magi, who were wealthy, they were different races and places. They weren't Jewish, but they came and they worshiped. But both of them shared the good news wherever they were. And you and I today are all called not only to experience the love of Christ and the joy of Christ, but also to share that. Whether we're at work, wherever we are, whether it's a school or whether it's a factory or a hospital, wherever we are, or the farm, we can share the good news of Christ. And whether we're sort of church people or people who sort of come from afar, whether we know the Bible well or not very well at all, when our lives have been changed, we can share that with other people and tell them what's been meaningful to us. Not in a way that sort of beats them over the head with the Bibles and should have, could have, would have, but, you know, to share the experience of Christ that changes our life and gives us joy. So in closing, I want to just ask you to think about where you are this morning. I mean, maybe you're on a search, or maybe you've sort of found and worshiped Christ already. Maybe you're searching for leading, guiding in your life, and it isn't just for salvation. God also has a plan and purpose for each of our lives. And so when we search, I think when we search with a willing heart, we find God, and God in Christ can transform our hearts and lives. And then we're to share the good news of Christ to others. I'm going to close with this thought, that Christmas is celebrated on what is close to the shortest day and the longest night of the year. And probably that's no mere coincidence, because God wanted us to remind us that in our darkest night, that Christ comes to us to share forgiveness. Christ comes to us to take us from darkness and separation to God's love and God's light. And so early Christians celebrated by putting lights out. And Martin Luther is credited with being the first one to put candles on a Christmas tree. Now, those were real candles and those were real Christmas trees, because you can only imagine the potential for disaster. But he wanted to symbolize that Christ's light comes to us in our darkest night. And today we light up the night, and I love that tradition. But it reminds us that God comes to us with grace, with love, with light, and our lives are transformed. It also reminds us, as we light the Advent candles and our own candle from Christ's candle, that when we leave this place, we're to take Christ's light, his love, his hope, his peace, and joy out into the world wherever we go. The highways and byways, the places to work and play, and to share that light with others. And when we do, we will experience a greater joy. And God's love can come to our hearts and lives, whether we are in sin and separation from God and searching, or whether we're in a moment in life where we're searching, sort of maybe we're facing an illness or a financial crisis or hurt in a relationship. Whatever it is, God's light and God's healing, God's love and grace can forgive and change our life in a way that makes everything new. So I challenge you today to rediscover the joy of faith in Christ, not just in Christmas, but every day of the year, and to share that with others near and far. Isaiah 9:2 says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about those Magi from long ago, who traveled from afar, seeing only a sign in the sky, we reminded that sometimes in the darkest night, the light shines brightest. Sometimes people search from near your word, and sometimes people search from different countries and places and even faiths. But they come searching, and in you they can find a love that transforms, a love that forgives in Christ, a love that touches and changes our hearts and lives in a new way, and it's life-changing and lasts for all of life. Lord, help us not to take this truth for granted, but to accept the gift of grace in Christ and to allow it to touch our lives each and every day, and then to share that good news with others near and far. In the name of Christ Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.